Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today, well done. Today is January 7th, 2018, and this is the GameBuoy podcast, episode 150. Gotta catch 'em up. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
This week, we're going to be catching up on a bunch of news that has broken since our last episode. You may note, most years this week, we would be doing our annual live episode where we do the previous year, year in review. We will be doing that live episode in the next week or two. However, I'm just getting over being sick. I still have a cough. I don't have the full use of the range of my voice yet. So it just did not make sense to do an episode where I can't edit around these problems. So we'll be back at you with that content as soon as we can. In the meantime, we just want to get an episode out there to all y'all lovely internet lovelies in internet radio land. And, you know, sort of clear out the news deck so that when we do our live episode, I was 100% sure you were going to laugh at doo-doo, you classless bitch. When we do our live episode, I hate everything. We will have a clean slate from which to work.
You hate everything. Wait until I have to read, like, 20 tweets about, oh, your voice sounds huskier than usual. I like it.
There will literally be no tweets like that. Calm down. All right, with all of this having been said, let us start with our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits. Slaggy, take it away.
Yeah, starting out, we have word from Axis that they are bringing the sequel to Code Realize, and the original and the sequel. So wait, so they're bringing the sequel to Vita, and they're bringing the original and the sequel to the PS4. The sequel for Vita will be called Code Realize Future Blessings, and the package for PS4 will be called Code Realize Bouquet of Rainbows. And this will let you be Cardia, an otome heroine with a poisonous touch. And you can romance spooky pretty boys like Van Helsing or Victor Frankenstein.
Or Herlock Sholmes.
Which, I don't know why they just didn't go with Sherlock Holmes. He's in the public domain.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the answer to that is, but
but the boys are pretty. I mean, talk about bichis.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I'm kind of more into this than I want to be. I'll probably play this. What do you think?
Yeah, they're pretty boys. They're literally Bishonen.
Excellent. We also have word here that Cat Quest has been updated with new modes and quests for both the PS4 and Nintendo Switch version. These are, of course, the same new modes and quests that the PC recently got. This allows you to play a New Game Plus style mode, which is, of course, very awesome, but you also unlock the Mew game, which is a more challenging version of the game that unlocks after beating it. This is, of course, really exciting. Cat Quest is a super fun little take on RPGs. Super cute. If you have a Switch, if you have a PS4, I think it's something that's worth checking out.
Excellent. We will finally be getting pink and green Joy-Cons going on sale this month. This is a left pink and right green. So it's the opposite of the Japanese set. So if you care about that, you'll still want to import if you want the other sides. But
Or if you're just trying to have complete sets, import one, buy one here domestically, and you have two sets of Joy-Cons in a pink and a neon green.
Indeed.
All right, we also have word here that there's going to be a third beta test coming for Monster Hunter World. This is exclusive to PlayStation 4, and it will be adding a fight quest for Nergigante. This is, of course, really exciting. You know, a lot of people super into Monster Hunter World in the previous beta tests. I have been unable to play any of the betas so far due to just like I was out of town for Christmas, various travel and work obligations I've had. So I'm really excited. This new beta test is going to be running from January 19th to January 22nd. This is in advance of the January 26th release on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I'm currently undecided on if I'm going to get Monster Hunter World. I really want to play the beta first so that I can see if the changes are too drastic for me or not. But definitely getting some positive feedback in the Monster Hunter fandom, of which I'm, you know, definitely a part. So I definitely want to check it out. If you know, against all odds, Capcom has turned this one into a really great experience, despite the streamlining and accessibility type stuff, I think that would be great.
Yeah, just too bad you can't take it with you on the go.
Yeah, for real. That is still going to be a major sticking point for me. In fact, I recently finally got around to importing and playing Monster Hunter Double Cross for Switch, because I do have a lot of local area hunters, and I don't want to lose the option to meet up with them and play with them. So I still think Capcom really dropped the ball not localizing that, but I mean, it is what it is. Better, you know, make the best of the situation.
And we also have word that the PC version of Monster Hunter World will be releasing in the fall, so if you're holding out for PC, please look forward to it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who do want to play that game on PC. I think on one hand that it sucks that it's going to be so long to get out to PC, but on the flip side, I'm glad they're letting us know now, so for people who maybe aren't going to want to wait that long, you have options to pick it up on PS4 or Xbox One instead.
Yeah.
We also have word that Microsoft is actually issuing some refunds for some of the folks out there who got burnt on the Marvel Heroes Omega DLC purchases. We had noted, you know, that Marvel Heroes, including the Omega version, were all shut down early back in November. Well, it looks like for the people who bought DLC for the game between September 1st and October 30th, they're all expected to receive store credit by January 31st. People who bought DLC from October 31st to November 29th when the game shut down, they're actually going to have that refund applied in cash to the payment method that they had used to purchase the DLC. I think this is super classy of Microsoft. I think this is a really, really great move on their part. And I just, honestly, I'm super, super impressed that they took this step.
All right. Well, we have some interesting news thanks to the Japanese eShop. Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle is finally coming out in Japan on the 18th. But what's interesting is that there is a listing for June 30th, 2018 for the Final Story expansion.
Yeah, and you know, we did not have really a release window for this, strictly speaking. But for me, something that's more interesting, and obviously the fact that, you know, we'll be playing this in the next 6 months is a good thing, but we also have indication here that this final add-on is going to be bringing a new world and playable character to the game. And we had kind of suspected that, but I don't think we had it confirmed. So it's nice to have that confirmation.
Indeed. I was going to let you take this one because obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ripened Tingle's Balloon Trip of Love has gotten a fan translation patch online. This is, of course, the second major Tingle game on the DS platform.
Not to be confused with Tingle's Balloon Fight DS, although the translation group called TingleTranslation.com or TopBlogspot.com, they are working on that as well, Tingle's Balloon Fight DS.
That's so exciting. So yeah, if you still have a original DS, you have like an R4 card, or maybe you have a DS emulator set up somehow, somewhere, you can finally go check this out. I'm really excited to do so because I effing love freshly picked Tingle's Rosy Rupee Land, and I've never played Ripened Tingle's Balloon Trip of Love, so it is time.
And this is the one that's like vaguely, not even vaguely, that's like he's basically in the Wizard of Oz, right? Love it. Unfortunately, Final Fantasy Explorers Force is being delayed until the spring for its smartphone release.
Yeah, you know, this is basically because, you know, the game was in beta back in October. Square Enix took surveys from all of the beta participants, and so they ended up delaying the game to further improve on the gameplay experience. They apologize for the inconvenience, but they look forward to making the game into something more satisfying with these improvements. This is the kind of delay that I applaud. You know, of course it sucks not to get to play a game sooner rather than later, but I think we all can agree it's best if we can have the best experience possible when we're paying for a game. So I support this delay, and hopefully the game is better for it.
Mm-hmm. Also being delayed is Fantasy Life Online. Just a general spring 2018 release window, but they want to improve the game's quality as well as the systems and UI, so Level 5 says they will continue to share more details once development progresses further.
We also have word here that ARMS has gotten the version 5.0 patch, which adds the new character, Dr. Dr. Coyle. She is a boss bitch. I'm super into it. In addition to the new character, they've added a new stage. They've made some tweaks to all of the other ARMS characters and some of the ARMS weapons themselves. It sounds like this is a pretty big patch, which is good because this is actually the final big update for the game. There will be more patches for, like, balance or what have you, but at least for the moment, this is the final version of the game. We should be seeing some competitive play later this month at EVO Japan 2018, yeah. So that'll be very interesting to see. How do you feel, Slaggy? You know, a lot of people bought ARMS with the promise of it getting long-term support. It's been about 6 months. They've added, what, like, 6 or 7 characters. I have seen some people upset online that they feel like the game should be receiving more evergreen support, Overwatch style, but for me, I like ARMS, and I feel like 6 months and a hearty slew of new content for me is enough. What do you think?
And I mean, there's no saying that they can't do, like, season 2 down the line and have, like, you know, 6 new characters, like, later on, but just, you know, it's good to see that, you know, they're gonna continue to at least do, like, balancing and stuff, so.
Yeah. All right, we also have word here that Mighty Gunvolt Burst has gotten more DLC characters. This time, they have added Azure Striker Gunvolt's Kopen, Galgun 2's Kurona, and Mighty No. 9's Ray. These characters came out in the last week of 2017. They are available for $2 each as in-game DLC. And, of course, Mighty Gunvolt Burst is the fantastic game that is sort of a crossover of these various IntiCreates franchises. Kind of well known for being a better Mega Man homage than Mighty No. 9 was. Right? Slaggy, have you been into Mighty Gunvolt Burst at all?
No, but I mean, I probably should give it a try.
Yeah, it's a really great game. I haven't downloaded any of these characters yet, but I will almost certainly be getting Kopen and Ray as soon as I have some downtime for games. Like, I've been playing all these high-profile games lately, trying to get all of the best of 2017 under my belt before our live episode. So this will be, for me, like a good, like, unclench, exhale, and relax with the game moment.
Okay. We have word from Bandai Namco that they will be bringing My Hero Academia 1's Justice over to North America and Europe sometime this year for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC.
Excellent.
Super exciting. It is a really great shonen anime. So if you're into that sort of thing, this game looks like it's going to be great. I'm just hoping that we get it doesn't have to even be a huge roster of characters, but there's so many cool characters in that show that, like, I hope that there are plenty to choose from.
Absolutely. So, obviously, it sounds like you're going to be getting it.
Oh, of course.
Excellent. What platform are you going to get it on?
Switch.
Okay, fantastic. Hopefully there's some local multiplayer modes, because I will also be getting this for sure, and on Switch. We also have word here that One Piece Grand Cruise will be releasing in North America. This is the upcoming PlayStation VR pirate adventure game, and it's going to be getting a release in both North America and Europe in 2018. So I hope you are excited to have that first-person perspective of Roronoa Zoro's naked chest.
Oh, I know you are.
I most certainly am.
We have news from Ubisoft that Star Trek Bridge Crew, which was one of the big VR kind of titles, now has an update or a patch that allows it to be playable without VR. So for people who were looking forward to it but didn't want to invest in VR, that's good news. For people who like VR, that's not so good news.
Yeah, and last, but definitely not least in our updates, we have word here that Dragon Marked for Death, this is the new IntiCreates side-scrolling JRPG multiplayer co-op game, has been delayed. They were initially hoping for a Switch release in the winter 2017, but they have delayed it for the sake of, you know, finishing the game in its proper form. They are currently looking at a 2018 release date, but we have no further information. It is my hope that if we should be getting a Switch Direct sometime soon, that we will be getting a more specific release window for this, or maybe even like a up on the eShop now surprise release. fingers crossed, with all that having been said, of course, we do have some release info updates for all of y'all out there. And some of these are actually really exciting to me. This first one, of course, is word that this past week, the eShop for Nintendo Switch got the Neo Geo Classic King of Monsters game. This is one of those games that, like, in retrospect, is probably pretty awful, but I still really like it. Kind of like a kaiju city destruction battle game. You're playing a giant monster trying to beat up some other giant monsters. It's multiplayer. I used to play this in the arcade a lot, so I have a lot of fond memories of it, so I still really enjoy it. It's like
cool,
a hybrid.
Arcade Archives is, like, so prolific.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm just really into this game. It has, like, some vague, like, pro wrestling elements. It has some really fun, like, kaiju, like, tongue-in-cheek winks to fans of the genre. It's just, it's cute. It's cool. I like it. We also have word that Mercenaries Saga Chronicles will be releasing on the Switch on January 18th in Japan. This is cool. You know, we've talked about the Mercenaries Saga series a little bit here. It was a 3DS series that was on the eShop for 3DS. They're, like, really very competent, like, Final Fantasy Tactics clones. So, really exciting stuff, because we do also have confirmation that this collection, which actually comprises all three Mercenaries Saga games, will be coming to the West. So we will be getting this at some point. I'm hoping that the Japanese release will have English versions, but again, we don't have a date yet for the Western release. Fingers crossed it's soon.
Persona 5 Dancing Star Knight and Persona 3 Dancing Moon Knight will be released in Japan on May 24th.
Excellent. That's on the PS4 and PS Vita, right?
Somehow.
Do you plan on picking either of these up?
Probably. I mean, I like Persona 4 Dancing All Night a lot. And, you know, even with my issues with Persona 5, with it, the way it handled, you know, same-sex content and such, the Persona series has great music, so...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We also have word here that Dragon Quest Builders will be releasing on the Switch in North America and Europe on February 9th. Which I think is a lot sooner than most of us expected. Pokemon Crystal will be releasing on the 3DS eShop as a virtual console title on January 26th.
I love Pokemon Crystal.
I know you do. The Alliance Alive, which is, of course, the sort of retro revival homage of some of the Saga-style game designs that people love so much, will be releasing in North America on March 27th. Ni no Kuni has been delayed to March 23rd. And last but definitely not least, LucasArts' 1987 point-and-click classic adventure game Maniac Mansion is now available on Steam. If you've never played it before, you know what you must do. All right, well, with all of that having been said, let's bust into some more fresh news in... Oh my god.
News. 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 Oh my god.
Slaggy, if you'd like to get us started today.
Yeah, we have word from Toy Box that their game Birthday the Beginning, which was a PS4 and PC title, will be coming to Switch as Happy Birthdays in Japan in March.
Exciting. The cool thing about this is that they're actually making some tweaks to the game that they're actually referring to as major system improvements, including the general game tempo. They'll be adding new creatures. They're going to be making it, like, more obvious, like, what the actual requirements are in order to, like, raise the kinds of creatures that you want to have in your garden space. So it actually sounds like this is going to be, like, an enhanced release on the Switch. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
We also have word that Ambition of the Slimes will be getting a Switch port in North America, Europe, and Australia. The release date is going to be announced, quote-unquote, soon, and that was, soon as of last week, so, huh. It's already available on the Japanese eShop. I can't help but think that we may be hearing about a release date for this in the next week or two.
Yeah, it looks really cute.
Yeah. We also have word here of a new Devil May Cry game, but before you get too excited, it is an action game for smartphones. This is called Devil May Cry Pinnacle of Combat, and it actually looks like a pretty good mobile action game as these things go. It's being developed by Unity 3D, in Unity 3D, and the developers are very specifically focused on bringing the combat system from the console games to the mobile space. So it's expected to launch in China in 2018 for smartphones, and we will definitely have more on this for you as we learn more.
All right, well, we have news from Atlus of Catherine Full Body. This is a PS4 and Vita release of the puzzle game Catherine, with a third Catherine now. There's also, of course, new endings, episode, anime movie, and more.
Oh, wow.
By Silicon Era. So this new Catherine is nicknamed Rin, and she is a pianist at the bar that Vincent frequents.
She is described as having an honest and gentle personality.
So, yet another Catherine to throw in the mix.
Oh, wow. We also have word here that Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 4, The End of Saga, has been formally announced for PS4. We were all expecting this, of course, but we now know officially this will be releasing in fall of 2018 in Japan. We have a look at some screenshots and artwork. It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for this. That's going to be super exciting.
So this is the final chapter, apparently.
End of Saga.
At least for the Trails of Cold Steel, I would assume. I mean, not necessarily for Legend of Heroes.
Well, naturally. Yeah. We also have word here that Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 is heading to the Nintendo Switch. It will be available via the eShop as Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 Plus, and it's going to include a new two-player cooperative mode.
Yay!
Please look forward to it. Obviously, if you want to play it before its release in February, you can already play the regular version of this game on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. We also have word of Super Robot Wars X, or Cross, or 10. I'm not actually sure which of those it is on this case. This is for PS4 and PS Vita. It'll be releasing in Japan and Asia. The Asian release will have an English translation. And so far, the anime series that will be a part of it are Daitarn 3, Ara Battler Dunbine, Zeta Gundam, Double Zeta, Char's Counterattack, F-91, Gundam Wing Endless Waltz, Crossbone Gundam Steel 7, Reconquista in G, Mashin Hero Wataru, Nadia Secret of Blue Water, Brave Express Might Gain, Gurren Lagann, Code Geass, True Mazinger, both Edition Z and Zero, Buddy Complex, and Cross Ange, which is a choice. Hopefully there's going to be a few more series added. Either way, the game will be releasing in Japan on March 29th and April 26th in the Asian territories. And that's the version that will have the English language support.
Excellent. We have word that Nintendo Power is back, this time in podcast form. The first...
Remember Alf?
He's back. Pog War. That's exactly what I was trying to channel.
I know.
So this will be hosted by Chris Slate, who is one of the former editors in chief. And in this first episode, he is talking with Kit Ellis from the Nintendo Minute. I think that's the cutie that we all like, right? And Damon Baker from Nintendo of America.
He's the cutie I like.
Yeah. This first episode discusses the making of The Legend of Zelda, along with director Hidemaru Fujibayashi and producer Eiji Aonuma-san.
That's exciting. So this is, I think, really cool. Definitely something I want to support. You know, I'm mostly all about, like, indie podcasts and everything, but, like, I don't know. I'm also here for some official podcasts from companies like Nintendo. I think that's really neat. So, yeah. Hell yeah, Nintendo Power in its way in 2018. That's cool.
Yeah.
We also have word of a new Adventure Time game coming in 2018. This one is called Adventure Time Pirates of the Enchiridion. Either way, it's a game about all of the Adventure Time characters as pirates. It's going to be releasing on PS4, Xbox One, PC, and
really
Switch
cute.
This year. And it looks fantastic. Yeah, it's a full 3D open world game. Going to have like recruitment and exploration and combat. It looks like kind of a take on some of the same ideas as like Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which to me was a great game. I'm super stoked about this.
Excellent.
All right. Well, with all that having been said, we also have a trip to Culture Club this week. Culture Club, of course, is where we talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of games and gamers. Maybe not specifically about, like, you know, new title announcements or what have you. So this first one is word, actually, of a returning event from a game that was implemented last year. A lot of people are very excited about this year. This is the Diablo 3 event, Darkening of Tristram. You may recall that this was the anniversary dungeon introduced last year, which is a tribute to the original Diablo game. It features a whole lot of fan service, including UI changes, a different way for, like, the game to actually, like, visibly be rendered, including, like, a lower frame rate support.
LOL.
Characters and movements, characters and monsters have, like, different animations that look more, like, old style. Just, like, really above and beyond what Blizzard did for this. Are you excited about this, Laggy? Have you done Darkening of Tristram yet?
Did we do that last year?
We did not. We narrowly missed it.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I only really play when I'm playing on Xbox One with you, so no, I'm looking forward to it. I think that the console releases of Diablo 3 are great. It just clicks for me in a way that never quite clicked. I mean, I like Diablo 3 on PC, but I really like it on consoles a lot.
Excellent, excellent.
Reminds me of, what's that one arcade game? Was it a Dungeons & Dragons one? That is kind of similar. There was an arcade game where you're kind of like beating up dudes with multiplayer.
There are a lot of arcade games where you're beating up dudes multiplayer. Are you thinking of Gauntlet Legends?
Yes, yes.
So you think that Diablo 3 is like Gauntlet Legends?
Kind of. I mean,
I can see what you're saying. Okay. So we also have word here that the Miiverse has in its entirety been archived.
Dicks and all?
Dicks and all. All 72 million drawings on Miiverse have been archived by fans. They're available at, I guess this website is called archiverse.guide. I guess it right now the loading is still really slow because a lot of people are still accessing it, but all of the Miiverse has been archived, and I think that's really cool. I think that the fans have done what Nintendo should have done and really kept all of this cool and unique content.
I love that there's a screenshot in the comments of their, at least a few days ago, they were having some database issues, and they actually had an under construction.gif, like one of those little construction banner gifs.
LOLOL. We also have word here that gaming website IGN, probably the biggest gaming website in the world, has fired its editor-in-chief, Steve Butts, following an investigation into alleged workplace misconduct.
Not good.
You know, I mean, well, actually, the fact that they're kicking him the hell out, I think, is very good.
Oh, no, I meant that Butts doing stuff is not good.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the people who made these accusations basically say that they tried to go up the proper chain of command to complain about his behavior at the time it occurred, and they were basically shot down with, you know, oh, don't be so uptight about it. You know, oh, it's not that big of a deal. So I think it's really cool that, you know, people are actually standing up and making change in these things. People aren't being forced to endure this treatment anymore. I think that's a great thing. So fuck you, Steve Butts. LOL, bye, bitch. I hope IGN is a better place to work at for everyone else for this.
Butt to the curb.
We also have here a very sad story. Psyche, do you want to take this one for me?
Yeah, this is one that I'm sure a lot of you have heard about, and even probably a lot of people who don't follow gaming news. This is, of course, the unfortunate event that happened right at the end of the horrible year that was 2017. In which a 28-year-old man in Wichita, Kansas, was shot and killed after a false swatting brought police to his house. Two Call of Duty players were arguing over a $1.50 money match, and so basically they were fighting, and so basically one player gave a false address to the other, and then the that person gave it to a third party known for swatting, and Los Angeles County Jail Services has arrested the 25-year-old
responsible.
Yes, and who apparently had a history of swatting and other shitty things. So, of course, now this is the first time that people are like, "Oh, this is not good." Even though, like, gaming community members have been swatting people for a long
long time.
And I know swatting's not just a gaming thing, but, I mean, it's one of the toxic things in our, you know, pastime that we so enjoy that is just unfortunate, and all we can hope is that, you know, I mean, our hearts go out to the family of the victim who, like, wasn't even a Call of Duty gamer. Just an unfortunate victim of, you know...
That fucking sucks. Like, I'm sorry. I know we've talked here a lot about how swatting is, you know, it's a fucking disgusting, despicable thing to do, but, like...
There's so much involved with it. I mean, like, you know, just the fact that, you know, like, the police response to it, and, you know, that he was shot right away, but also just, you know...
Well, how many lives now have been negatively impacted because two assholes fucking playing a video game couldn't get their shit together?
Over $1.50.
Yeah, yeah. Now, fucking, this whole family who lost this family member, their lives are forever changed. The fucking officer, not that I necessarily have too much sympathy for him, but everyone in his family and whose lives are connected to his are now all negatively impacted. Everyone in his you know, their office, their station, they're all going to be negatively affected. The whole community, several whole communities. God damn it. Like, wake the fuck up, idiots. Like, what the shit, dude?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just all for the lulz, for the keks in Kekistan.
Right? Well, I'm one of the, because, you know, typically when we do these news catching up stories, we do a little bit of a deep dive. Spoiler alert, you know, people have been talking about the WHO including, like, a gaming disorder in its classification of diseases, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about a little bit, but a lot of people have been talking about, like, how it only refers to
gaming addiction,
but it actually doesn't refer only to gaming addiction. It does include that, but it also includes, you know, sort of the negative consequences of the continued devotion to these games is one of the big ones. Exacerbation of, like, already existent disabilities that one might be impacted by.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I'm not really sure how in the same week we can see people, innocent people, losing their lives because of gamer fuckery, and then in the next week all of us out here are like, oh no, gaming doesn't have any place in any kind of mental health disorder. Like, no, I'm sorry, maybe we need to look at the fact that this continues to happen, because what other fucking hobbies are people now being routinely harassed out of business, out of house and home? People are dying. Like, no, I'm sorry. Clearly, there's some fuckery going on that people need to look at. And I'm sorry, it's hard for me to look at things like this and situations like, again, where innocent people have now died because of gamer fuckery. I don't know how any of y'all out there in good conscience can't at least stop and say, hey, maybe we have a problem.
Yeah, and it's just sad that it took someone dying for, like, the mainstream media to pick up on this, because, I mean, those of us in gaming have been, you know, concerned about this for years, and, you know, also about, you know, some of the stuff that kind of shapes our current political situation here in the States as well, you know.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of the alt-right folks have really even talked about how the Gamergate situation was, you know, something that they orchestrated as a testing bed and a hotbed to start recruiting for all of these shenanigans. But nah, it's cool. It's cool. We're all definitely 100% super healthy, and it's super offensive,
you know,
that anyone would even suggest the possibility otherwise.
The FBI still thinks Twitter's called Tweeter and all of that. So, like, let's just hope that, you know, maybe this year we'll start seeing some real focus on, you know, an awareness of, like, what's really going on. Because, I mean, like, we're not in the FBI or on the SWAT team or whatever, and, like, it's, I mean, like, we can see what's going on. Like, I don't know what the deal is here, like, why this is not understood better. But anyways, it's just, you know, we really, our hearts do go out to the family of the victim.
Absolutely. Not that thoughts and prayers get anyone anywhere, but they have mine.
Yeah.
Ooh, I am on one today. Oh, this is actually, I think, a really cool news story,
yeah,
though. So Bloodborne has these, you know, the chalice dungeons. They're, you know, like, randomly generated, but you can use passwords in order to, like, enter ones that your friends have been in to see the same content that you've seen. So data miners have searched through the game's files. They've found some secret enemies, bosses, areas, spoken lines that, like, don't appear in the normal game. But something that's really cool is that by using the glyphs and password systems, people have actually found a way to see some of this content in your game without any hacks, without any kind of cheating. Just you can go and use these glyphs in order to see some of this content that was cut from the game, which I think is really neat, cool, and novel.
Yeah, one of them is the Moon Presence boss in a unused variant, and then the other one is a violent dog creature called the Great One. Why are you mad? Because my pussy pops severely and yours don't?
That's amazing. Definitely something I recommend all of y'all out there who are into Bloodborne check out. It's not all possible to actually complete, unfortunately, but you can at least see it. We also have word here that Universal Studios Japan is getting a Final Fantasy ride. This is a roller coaster called Final Fantasy XR Ride. It will be a limited time event as part of Universal Studios Japan's yearly Cool Japan event. It will be going through June 24th.
So you're trying to get a Japan trip in?
I was planning on doing my next trip next year in 2019. Maybe I'll have to try and make that happen 6 months earlier.
Well, also something that I don't know if you've talked about.
Haven't, but yeah, problem.
Yeah.
We also have word here of a new mod that is designed to make Smash 4 play just like Melee. This is Smash 4 Melee HD. It is, basically adding back into Smash 4 stuff like wave dashing, crouch canceling, changing the physics to be more of that heavier, faster mode.
But some of us don't like that.
Well, it is an optional mod. My biggest problem is,
if you want to play Melee,
let it go.
Let
it go. It's just one of those things where, like, I get it. Y'all like Melee a lot, and I think that's cool, but, like, the game has grown and advanced, and I get that Brawl was a shit show, but Smash 4 isn't. Even if your favorite character, looking at all you Jigglypuff players out there, including some pro players, maybe your favorite character got nerfed and you're not happy about it, but guess what? That's fighting games. Welcome to the world. If you want to keep playing Melee, keep playing Melee, but let it fuck go already.
Like,
come on.
Sorry, like, I don't usually like this term, especially since it's been typically used towards, people on what I feel is the right side of the argument, but I am tired of all of the Melee snowflakes, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sorry, just get the hell over it.
And like I said, I do not like that term snowflakes typically, but
I am going to say the flip is, I actually think this is really cool in terms of
developer.
Exactly. It's like, if you want that game so bad, like, maybe start thinking about making a new game.
We're starting to see a lot more smashy type games come out, so.
Yeah, there's clearly an audience for that kind of content. It's just like with Project M in the old days, where they made Smash Brawl into a Melee clone, and now they're making Smash 4 into a Melee clone, and it's like, dude, I'm tired of hearing about Melee. That's the real talk.
Yeah.
This last one, though, is really exciting. Psyche, do you want to explain this one?
Yeah, so this involves a 8-part musical work by Marty O'Donnell, a veteran Bungie composer. This was Music of the Spheres. It was meant to be a work of music released alongside the release of Destiny, but now it has been leaked to the internet. And basically, what we are familiar with is that basically after Marty O'Donnell was fired from Bungie, that Bungie shelved Music of the Spheres and basically hinted that people should share it if they had access to it. But because when he was audio director at Bungie, he gave away nearly 100 copies of Music of the Spheres. He said, "I don't have the authority to give you permission to share it. However, no one in the world can prevent me from giving you my blessing." And wink, wink. Hashtag never forget MOTS. And then now it is late.
Yeah, see, I think this is incredibly cool. Obviously, looking back, like, the way that Bungie and ActiBliz treated Marty was pretty unacceptable in a lot of ways. Marty O'Donnell really is responsible for the atmosphere of Destiny and a lot of the stuff that people, I think, love about Destiny. So it's just really cool to finally get to hear all this music. And, the thing is, like, it's actually a really fantastic composition. It's really, really very cool that this even exists. I'm so happy we're getting to hear it. It is just really, really awesome. It's like, have you had a chance to listen to this yet?
No, but I remember hearing about the teenager who was trying to kind of recreate it from the segments that were used in Destiny. So it's cool to see this is kind of a footnote to that, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, excellent. All right, well, all that having been said, let us deep dive a few news stories here.
I thought you were going to say deep dish.
It's not going to be too many news stories this week, you know, kind of recapping some of the big news pieces from last year and giving some updates on them. Slaggy, if you would like to get us started, though, I know that this first one is one that I think you can explain the significance of pretty quickly.
Yeah, so basically these first couple of stories could be summed up by Nintendo saying, I'm making a note here, huge success. That does not mean that Portal is coming to Switch, although that would be cool.
Well, hey, it already is in Portal Bridge Constructor.
That's true. But basically, starting off here, we have Famitsu sales data that has told us that the lifetime sales for the Switch have officially overtaken lifetime sales for the Wii U in Japan. This of course means that in the first 10 months that Switch has been on the Japanese market, it has outsold the entirety of the Wii U sales in Japan for the 5 years or whatever that was on the market. The Switch has sold 3.4 million compared to the Wii U's 3.3 million. So making a note here, huge success.
And something else that's notable about this, although this Silicon Era piece doesn't cite it, is that the Nintendo Switch is already more than halfway to the PS4's lifetime sales in Japan at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a pretty big deal here. And, you know, the funny thing is that the Nintendo Switch is still very much supply constrained in Japan. Again, we're still seeing, you know, when retailers get Switches in, they're having to do lotteries just to determine who has the right and privilege to buy one.
Wow.
So there is no sign of it, of this really slowing down in Japan.
Yeah, because I see them in stores every so often here, at least in the Bay Area.
You know, and the note about that is that the Nintendo Switch is the fastest selling home console in U.S. history as well. It has broken Nintendo's Wii system sales lifetime to this point in terms of like an adjusted for time window, you know, 10 months after release or whatever. The Switch is now has selling above that with two more months to go in the first year of its release. So basically the Switch, even here in North America, like, yeah, you might be seeing them on store shelves from time to time, but that's because Nintendo has really supplied stores with them in our region. They're still selling. It's just the perception that there are units on shelves doesn't change the fact that that's just because that's how many Nintendo got out there.
Right.
Which is, to me, just truly absurd. Really, here in the United States alone, we're looking at nearly 5 million units in its first 10 months. That is pretty ridiculous.
Well, and on that note, Kimishima-san has mentioned that he wants the Switch to sell more than 20 million units in the fiscal year from April 2018 to March 2019.
Well, and so, you know, this is something that we had noted in a previous episode here, that this was a rumor going around that this Nintendo is looking to move between 20 and 30 million units next fiscal, which would be like an unprecedented success practically. I mean, that would be like PS2 numbers, that would be like original DS numbers. I mean, that would be a phenomenal year for anyone. Like, that would be like a record best for some companies. So, that Kimishima is telling Kyoto Shimbun, you know, that they intend to sell more than 20 million units in the next fiscal, tells me that Nintendo really must have another phenomenal software lineup lined up, and that they intend to keep making these things and supplying them to regions where they're in demand. So, I can't help but think that, you know, we must have another killer year coming for the Switch, and my wallet's pretty mad about it.
Yeah.
So overall, Slaggy, I want to ask, what do you think? You know, we talk here a lot about Nintendo, and we celebrate a lot when Nintendo does well. We get pretty bummed when Nintendo's doing poorly. How do you feel about these news pieces?
I think it's just great to see that, you know, as we are closing in on 1 year of Switch, that it's a huge success. I mean, we even with all of our excitement for it, we still didn't know. It could have not done well, but it's really resonated with gamers, and I know most people I know at this point have a Switch, so that, I mean, that says something, you know. People are prioritizing, you know, even if they were typically more like of a PlayStation gamer, I've seen people say, oh, I've been saving up for Switch, finally got my Switch, what should I get for the Switch? And I think Nintendo just really, you know, and the thing is that, like, if the Wii U had, you know, but a little bit clearer vision and a more steady supply of games, I think it could have done really well. But I think this is proof that people aren't anti-Nintendo. It's just that the Wii U just didn't resonate the way that other consoles of Nintendo's had. So I'm really happy that this great console is getting such great support from consumers and from Nintendo.
Well, and, you know, we also have word here on, like, some of the ridiculous attachment numbers for some of these games. You know, here in North America, for example, Mario Odyssey is owned by over 60% of Switch owners, which you can also extrapolate to mean Odyssey here in North America would have had to have sold almost 3 million units for that to be true. Over 55% of Switch owners own Breath of the Wild, which means it must, in the U.S. alone, be over the 2.5 million mark.
For Switch, I mean...
Just for Switch, yeah.
There's a lot of people, not a lot, but I mean that some people got it on Wii U.
Well, and that same metric applies to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe as well. Over 20% own Splatoon 2, which means it's probably over a million sold in just the U.S. So, you know, again, we're not just seeing the hardware being successful, but, I mean, these are truly phenomenal attach rate rates for the games as well. You know, the Switch in Japan already has more million sellers than the PS4 does over there. It's remarkable, the success that we've seen Nintendo luck into, and I say luck into, but really, I think it's a matter of right place, right time, right product.
Yeah.
So just phenomenal stuff. Really hoping that Nintendo can make the most of this opportunity they've created.
Indeed.
We also have an exciting story here that the game accessory and peripheral maker Mad Catz is back in business after having been acquired by a Chinese group that previously had worked with Mad Catz on manufacturing. So Mad Catz, you know, they filed for bankruptcy last April. We talked a little bit about that at the time. They are now based in Hong Kong, known as Mad Catz Global Limited. They're going to be bringing back the Rat gaming mice, the Strike keyboards, and Freak headsets, which they're going to be showing off next week at the Consumer Entertainment
Show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really a super gaming-centric one usually, so
yeah.
We kind of don't really...
Well, CES used to be very gaming centric. Even Nintendo Power used to do a CES issue every year. But now, obviously, it's more about, you know, E3 and the directs and, you know, Sony's basically like direct style online digital presentations.
Yeah, no, that's great news.
But yeah, super excited for Mad Catz to be back.
Mad Catz, like, has been a fixture, so.
Yeah, and, you know, when I was a kid, Mad Catz was terrible, but they actually got pretty good in the last 10 years, so I'm stoked to hear this.
Yeah, because, I mean, I say a fixture. But I mean, you know, they were around for a while, and you know, they finally got to be pretty good. But yeah, you know, I mean, there were a lot of really bad third-party controllers back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. We also have word here that Nipponichi Software America will be holding a 2018 press event on February 9th.
Stay tuned, dude.
Now, something that's cool about NIS America is that we do sometimes get global announcements here for the first time. You know, a lot of times when an American arm of a publisher, developer is doing an event, we don't really get like new announcements. We just get localization announcements. Because of how Nipponichi is run, it is possible that we could get new title announcements for Danganronpa, Disgaea, Neptunia, and any of the other series that they're involved in. So definitely some really exciting stuff. I do want to note that the actual like invitation for this that went out to the various blogs and gaming personalities did feature Disgaea art. So fingers crossed, you know, we have heard word from them recently that you know, the Disgaea series with Disgaea 5 Complete on Switch is something that they'll be continuing because, you know, that was a little bit in question, but Disgaea 5 Complete on Switch did great numbers, particularly here in North America, which is great to hear. And so we can look forward to more Disgaea on the Switch and PS4.
Woo-hoo.
I hope we'll hear about it in the next couple of weeks. We also have word here that CyberConnect 2 will be revealing new plans and developments for the coming year on February 1st. This is going to be via an event that they are going to be holding. Famitsu is going to provide some coverage in their next issue that's going to be releasing this week. And otherwise, you know, they're going to be doing announcements at this event. And I'm really excited about that because I love CyberConnect 2.
Yeah, and they said that they're talking about their vision going forward for the next 10 years.
Ooh-wee. I'm excited to hear that. Fingers crossed for, you know, some more Asura's Wrath and then maybe a new Naruto game.
I mean, it could just be like, we're going to keep making anime games.
Hey, that's fine by me. I love the way they make anime games, so I'm not complaining.
Waiting for a Sailor Moon CyberConnect 2 game.
Oh, it's the dream. All right, well, last but certainly not least is the news story that we had discussed a little bit before, that in the 11th International Classification of Diseases Index, the 2018 edition, this has not been updated since 1992.
Oh, boy.
The World Health Organization will be adding gaming disorder to the list as a new condition. And, you know, it's worth mentioning that in the DSM,
right,
in the fifth DSM, DSM-5, gaming disorder has actually already been recognized by psychiatrists as a condition for further study back in 2013.
Right.
So, why
is it only now that we're hearing about it as a big deal?
Well, and, you know, many countries have identified, you know, the idea of a gaming disorder as a potential major public health issue. It's hard for me to disagree with that. You know, I've seen so many people talk about, oh, gamers being persecuted, we're under attack, we're coming under fire for our hobby. But, like, how many news stories have we seen about people in net cafes literally dying because they couldn't stop playing,
mm-hmm,
and, like, falling into exhaustion and passing away? Or, you know, how many lives have we seen ruined over this globber gloop nonsense in the last year or two? Like, how many people, now people have actually died in direct connection to gamer fuckery? Like, I just, again, like I said earlier, I don't understand how anyone in good conscience couldn't say, maybe we should look at this. Like, I know we're all super on guard because of Senator Lieberman and, you know, 30 years of actual persecution in the media, being told that, you know, school killers, it's, you know, video games' fault that some of these child shooters happened. I understand that we're conditioned now to be like, no, fuck this, gamers are fine. But I think it's time maybe we acknowledge and the idea that, like, maybe this should be looked into.
Yeah.
Because it just, again, like I said earlier, I'm not really sure that I can buy that this is something to be expected and to be normal when, like, other hobbies and other fandoms aren't doing this.
I think it's that people are trying to say, oh, well, that's not me. I play World of Warcraft for 40 hours a week, but I don't have gaming disorder because I get plenty of sleep, I exercise, and I'm not getting fired from my job. So, like, if I want to play World of Warcraft for 40 hours a week, I'm not gaming disordered. And no one's saying they are. I think it's just...
Most people who drink are not alcoholics. Most people who game probably don't have a gaming disorder.
But I think people...
But it's time to...
To defend themselves.
Well, exactly. And, you know, it's just, again, I think we need to accept that. I think for some people, they're, you know, the way they approach gaming is disordered and does have disordered thinking and disordered behavior. And I think we need to accept that and let people help those that need it.
Did we talk about... Maybe not, because this might have been over the winter holidays and just kind of... I remember seeing it floating around Twitter. It was a Reddit story about how a guy spent like tens of thousands of dollars on Brave Exvius.
Yeah, right?
Did,
like,
we talk
literally
about that on the show?
I don't recall if we talked about it. I know that you and I talked about it a lot off air, but I don't...
And that, of course, ties into, like, gambling too, but I mean, also, you know...
You know, we may have talked about it because we did do a whole thing on gambling a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's, again, yeah, I'm sorry, that's disordered behavior. And again, I don't think it's a bad thing to have that looked at by professionals. I just don't. I think that people need to calm down a little bit. You are not under personal attack if your hobby is coming under scrutiny to make sure that the people that participate in it can do so in a healthy way. This isn't a bad thing. if you think it's a bad thing, if it sounds like a bad thing, maybe ask yourself, why am I so upset about this? Like, take a step back and really try to figure that out, because I think that's a question that's really worth asking. Like, why is the potential existence of a gaming disorder so upsetting to you?
I mean, I think a lot of it, a discussion I've seen too, is that the term disorder has such a stigma. It's like, oh, well, gaming addiction, maybe, but disorder means that I'm, like, broken, you know? I mean, I think there's just, I mean, this ties into a bigger, I think, discussion on public attitudes towards mental health as
Oh,
well.
Absolutely, and that's probably why I'm so, like, wake the fuck up, people, because I have mental health issues. I have several diagnosed disorders,
it's
some
okay
of which that I take medication for every day. Yeah, it's okay to be disordered. You can still be you can be disordered and still live a very happy, healthy, active lifestyle, including fucking shitloads of gaming, and still be responsible and, you know, be a responsible adult who's, you know, a fixture in your local community and a contributor to people's lives. Like, you can do all that and be quote-unquote disordered, but, like, the most important thing is learning about your disorder so that you can make the right healthy choices to live that lifestyle. And why we would want to impede that process for some people that, frankly, I think could really benefit from it, it still confuses and astounds me.
Indeed.
All right. Ooh, I guess this really is the Game Buoy year about talking about ourselves. All that having been said, now I want to talk about some rumors, because this has been a minute.
I said, hey, what's going on?
So this first rumor is word that Amazon posted 18 different product listing pages for unannounced Switch games titled Switch Title with a number. So there were 18 overall. The pages used the image from the Switch with the Switch logo and the words just announced at the Nintendo Switch event. The same images that they used from the Nintendo Switch presentation last year, in January 2017, when the Switch was announced with all the details. Now, all of these placeholder pages have been removed for public viewing, but some people who got pre-orders in for them have noted that the pages do still exist in Amazon's database. This, we also had a leak coming out of EA for the game Fee, which had indicated that Fee was going to be one of the major games focused on at a Nintendo Direct taking place in January 2018. And in addition to that, we also have a lot of leakers who are very well-known and very reputable leakers all pointing to January 11th as the day for a Nintendo Direct.
Ooh.
So a lot of speculation that we're basically going to see 18 new Switch titles announced, or Switch products announced at this Direct on the 18th. Of course, you know, some of them based on their price point, some of them are probably new controllers, some of them are probably collector's editions of other regularly priced games. Seeing a lot of people out there hoping that maybe we're going to get an Infinite Climax release of Bayonetta here in North America that's going to get announced at this Direct. I would be super into that. I would absolutely buy it. I just want to ask you, Slaggy, what do you think? Do you think we have a Direct coming up, or is this all a bunch of wishful thinking?
It's kind of hard to tell. I saw a tweet from Nintendo of America Twitter. So, I mean, and we're seeing a lot of, interestingly, a lot of, like, fake Switch firmware things. But, I mean, so it's hard to tell. Like, I'm not really good at noticing, like, trends and stuff, but I don't think there's anything wrong with wishful thinking, whether it's totally out of left field or not. I think it's about the time that the Switch reveal one was, right? So, I mean, I think that we're due for one, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think we're due for one. And, you know, I've been talking about this for, I feel like, the last month, you know, that I've been expecting a January Direct, so I think it's coming. I do note, you know, again, a lot of reputable leakers on, you know, NeoGAF and Resetera talking about that January 11th date. So fingers crossed that that comes to pass. We also have word here of a new Scribblenauts game that was leaked through the Taiwanese ratings board. This one would be Scribblenauts Showdown. It appears to be releasing for the Switch, Xbox One, and PS4. The artwork shows Maxwell and his sister Lily. So this would be very exciting, especially to be getting a new, not just a new Scribblenauts game, but a new Scribblenauts game that is also on Switch. That would be really exciting.
Yeah.
All right, all of that having been said, let's start winding down by talking about what's up. Saigi, if you could get us started this week on what you've been playing?
Yeah, I think in between the holiday times, one of the big things that was cool that I don't usually talk about, since, you know, I live on my own, I went to visit my family for the holidays, and so I brought my Switch, and it's funny because I actually had picked up 1-2 Switch thinking it would be fun instead of, like, the yearly Yahtzee game or whatever that my family typically would play. But instead, everyone just wanted to play Mario Kart. So I got another set of Joy-Cons, and I ended up just taking 1-2 Switch back to the store because there's no reason for me personally to own it on my own, because if I was going to play it, I would just play it over here. I had realized that I had spent most of my time playing online or multiplayer, and so I had not unlocked a lot of stuff. So through our couple hours of playing Kart on, you know, the holidays, we were able to unlock a lot of different carts and kites and wheels and stuff. So and I have to say, like, for my mom to be able to enjoy playing Kart by having, you know, the auto steering on, so that she wasn't constantly falling off it, you know. So, you know, some people may say get good, but I mean, for me, it ended up so that everyone playing was able to enjoy and have fun. And, I mean, for me, that's more important. So, it was really fun to spend more time with Kart, you know, because it had been a while since I had played Kart. But otherwise, mostly been playing Final Fantasy XIV, been working on White Mage, which is actually a lot of fun. You know, I'm already up to date with all the patch content, so I did some of the cute little holiday quests that they had for, like, Christmas and New Year's. So that was cute, but otherwise I've been working on White Mage, which, like I said, I'm really enjoying as a healing class. It reminds me a lot of, like, the Priest class from World of Warcraft in terms of just, you know, a good overall healing class without any crazy gimmicks like the cards for Astrologian or, like, the little fairy pet for Scholar. It's just, you know, a solid healing class, and I'm at, like, level 62, I think, right now, so just trying to do my duties and stuff and really enjoying being back in the game. What about you?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to keep this short because my voice is starting to fail on me a little bit. But so I've been playing HQ Trivia every day, which LOL, but I really like Trivia, and I find the host, Scott Rogowski, like, super, super cute. So I've been really enjoying it. I also picked up Monster Hunter Double Cross for Switch, which I'm kind of spoiled now by playing so much Monhun in English that, like, getting back into the swing of playing it in Japanese is taking a little more work than I anticipated, but I am really enjoying it and getting better and better at being able to play without a translation guide, so that's, you know, super good news overall. It is just the same Monster Hunter you know and love, especially if you've played Monster Hunter Cross or Generations as it released here. Like, it's more of the same, which is a good thing or a bad thing. For me, it's a good thing. I've also been playing Skyrim Switch, which I'm really excited about because I have never really, like, sunk a whole lot of time into a Skyrim game. I played the PC version at its original release for a couple weeks or days or something, but ended up giving it up after like 8 hours of in-game time, just because making time to sit in front of my computer is not always the easiest thing to do for a single-player game especially. So being able to play it on my commute and stuff is really helpful, and I'm really excited to see more of Skyrim than I ever have before.
Awesome, I'll have to pick it up too.
I'm also enjoying putting time in on Pokemon Ultra Moon, and I've been doing a lot of retro gaming lately. Most specifically, I was doing Power Stone 2 last night, which I showed to some people here in studio, including you, Slaggy. Really been enjoying revisiting some of those golden oldies, and something I am hoping to do on a stream or something at some point, so please look forward to that. Do we have any social links this week?
We do. We have a tweet from Your Enzyme from middle of last month, since we've been a while, saying, "I'm finally getting to listen to episode 148. I've been really wrapped up in At Friends Table, which is Friends at the Table podcast. After discovering it recently, I'm sorry for the delay, frowny face." No worries about the delay.
Yeah, no.
Glad you're listening.
We're a podcast. Hell, I'm happy, like, you listened at all.
Friends at the Table is a actual play podcast about critical world building, smart characterization, and fun interaction between good friends. So That sounds cool. I know these like pen and paper play podcasts have been really popular. What's the Adventure Zone? Is that really popular one that a lot of people have followed? And like they just did their last one or whatever, and like it was super emotional.
Yeah,
something.
I don't remember the name, but yeah, no, that totally happened. I saw a lot of tweets about it.
Yeah, like Victoria, our friend who usually doesn't game, has gotten into D&D, and she's really into that. So
yeah, in fact, she and Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio have a new podcast project coming up.
Can we be talking about that? I guess they're tweeting about it, so it's not like a secret.
Yeah, I listened to the Alpha episode to give them some feedback. I really enjoyed it, so
yeah,
I'm really excited for their proper launch in the next few weeks.
It reminds me of the RuPaul and Michelle Visage podcast, What's the Tea?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's kind of their dynamic.
Yep, very much so.
And with that, let's get into some shout-outs after we shout ourselves out. So we love your feedback. We love your subscriptions, ratings, and reviews on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. Hopefully, Google Play seems to be working fine. I know your Enzyme Head thankfully brought some issues to our attention, but it seemed to be more of an app-based thing than a Google Play thing. So, as always, please let us know if you are unable to access us in some way, or if there is another platform where you should where we should be putting our podcast up. We like your Facebook likes, and we effing love Twitter. Our Twitter is at gamebuoy.org with the .org spelled out .org.
At gamebuoy.org with the .org spelled out .org.
You can email us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org, because I kind of slurred that. And our home base is gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org.
Would you like me to take these shout-outs for you? Your voice kind of is sounding a little
I've got this. Painful. I want to point you in the direction of the Voice of Geeks Network over at vognetwork.com, where you can hear such shows as us, Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a female's perspective on the world's most popular MMO, Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice from whom we steal so many of our cues, and the Starboard Power Coupling Podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. You should also check out our good friends over at Nintendo Love Fest and their sister show X Nation, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants, and our good friends over at the Astral Era podcast. Astral Era is a Final Fantasy XIV podcast focused on in-depth discussion of new content, game mechanics, story/lore, music, and of course, glamour, darling. You should also check out Sidekick's show, Reading is Fundamental, featuring myself, Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness, where we talk about the current season of RuPaul's Drag Race. As we have one of those coming up in just a few weeks, I think that show's about to spark back to life.
Yeah, we gotta get the ball rolling with episode zero for sure.
Wake me up inside.
Is that how you run in the new year? But I was there with you, so I know that you didn't do the Evanescence thing.
Yeah, no, I thought you were gonna say can't wake up because we were talking about Reading is Fundamental coming back. Anyway, Slag, you take us to place.
Well, I'd like to take you to a game bar. I can't really call it. I'm gonna have to ask them how they want to be referred to now, because I used to call them the Gay Video Game Prairie Home Companion and a part of the Hunty Bunch, but then remember the former Prairie Home Companion host like was involved in some like really bad misconduct, and the show has been renamed. The Nickel Creek guy apparently took over.
Oh, wow.
But it's not called Prairie Home Companion, so I guess you could just say that, you know, it's the sassy home of Toopsie, Jeremiah, and Todd, where they get sassy about video games. I need to check their branding about that. But yeah, I don't feel comfortable associating them with Prairie Home Companion anymore.
With the grossness.
Yeah. Well, enough about grossness, and now it's time for some realness, because VG Realness is serving up a dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. You know, they are not regularly posting, but I always want to shout them out. I'd like to shout out to Magical Boys Podcast, a pop culture podcast from a queer's perspective, formerly known as the Joystick Jockeys. I think at this point, you know, they've really established themselves as the Magical Boys, so, you know, definitely support them. I'd also like to shout out to our allies over at the Nintendo Fun Club, your place for platformers, positivity, and pop punk, and the home of Yuna and Luna, the cute kids.
Yes!
The other day, they were in boxes. I'd like to...
If they fits, they sits.
Right? That's how cats do it. I'd also like to shout out to our, we're definitely, New Year's resolution, going to be working on getting Anime Buoy back. You know, thank you for sticking with us. You know, 2017, a lot going on, and so we appreciate you sticking with us, but we are looking forward to bringing back Anime Buoy, which is your port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussions that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. We are probably going to be working on getting an episode about My Hero Academia in the works soon. It's not really left of center, but
You know, because my tastes are usually very left of center, I put off watching it and reading the manga for years.
Right.
Watching the anime for a year. And then I finally got into it and it was like, no, this deserves every bit of praise it's ever gotten.
So for some ways it might be off radar for some people because they avoided it like we did. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we both just recently devoured it over the winter holidays. So definitely looking forward. There's some great anime coming up. We've got new Cardcaptor Sakura just started airing. I think it should be a fun year for anime and we're looking forward to getting back in. If you have any anime that you think that we need to catch up on, I know this isn't Anime Buoy, but you definitely tweet at us at animebuoy.org with the .org spelled out .org or at the Game Buoy one. It doesn't really matter. We read it all. Anyway, also shouting out to Stabcast or Same Type Attack Bonus podcast at stabcast.org. Your twice monthly look into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. That's with the two of us and Trainer Sulker. We'll definitely be getting that Pokeball rolling again. Just, you know, the holidays and, you know, your illness and travel and work and all that, so
yeah, now that my voice is finally back and the holidays are done, we'll definitely be getting on that in the next week.
Yeah,
I would expect
continuing our discussion. We got lots of Pokemon Sun and Moon anime to cover, which we love, and Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, having a good time with those, so gonna pick that back up. So that being said, I'd like to thank also Zelda Reorchestrated, which was the late great site and project that recreated beautiful Zelda music in gorgeous symphonic sounds. They are responsible for our wonderful theme music. Unfortunately, they did close their doors quite a while back, but we'll forever be pouring out a 40 in the Great Fairy Fountain. I've got to practice that. My New Year's resolution is to at least do a passable fairy cackle.
All right, with all of this having been said, thank you so much for spending this lovely Sunday evening with us. I hope you've had half as much fun listening as we've had talking.
Hopefully you're glad we're back and not the opposite.
Yeah, right?
Like, those cackles. Now I remembered why I was glad to not hear him.
But we'll be back at you live in the next week.
Sorry about it.
If my voice doesn't get better, that may be 2 weeks, but I can't imagine it'll come to that.
But yeah, stay tuned to our social medias for updates.
Indeed. And you know, hopefully by the time next episode rolls around, we'll have all of our year-end stuff to discuss and hopefully a new Nintendo Direct.
Updates. Did you see that Paris Hilton tweeted about, and this was like not a Photoshop tweet, this was an actual tweet. Did you see that Paris Hilton tweeted about
Nintendogs, but she called it Nintendogs?
She's like, I want it on the App Store, but like actually Nintendogs would be a great App Store title.
Yeah, I hope people are tweeting at Nintendo to be like, hey, clearly you already could have a super popular Nintendogs on Switch if you wanted. Like, it's time. New Nintendogs. She said on the App Store, but release it on the Switch.
And they could get Paris Hilton to be, like, the spokesperson for it. She's right. Like, there's a new Nintendogs title. That's hot.
That's hot.
Did you see her tweet at the end of 2017? She's like, before the new year, I'd like to say that's hot. Wow, Paris Hilton got a lot of more talk than we would think.
All right, well, until next time, keep gaming.
Keep thinking.
And Pokemon Ghetto Daze.
That's hot.
Do me a favor and speak into your mic for me.
No.
Ha 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 ha.